It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbrand.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
what we are finding is that the loans that were done between 2005 and a few were done in 2008, 99% of them have serious violations.
Private attorney Karen Kennedy discusses forensic mortgage loan and securitization audits and the surprising foreclosure defenses that result from them in the first part of a two-part presentation. And the three things tenants must know and do to get their landlords to make repairs are explained during this week's question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 97, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Last month, American families won a major consumer victory when the Federal Trade Commission issued a new rule barring debt relief firms from collecting upfront fees from customers before any service is provided. The new rule applies to any debt relief firm that either receives a call from or makes a call to a customer. Firms are prohibited from collecting fees upfront before they have provided any promised service or benefit to the consumer. Until now, many debt settlement companies have required hefty fees, usually based on the size of the debt, at the beginning of a client relationship, before any of the customer's debts were settled. Far too often, these companies never performed the task they were paid to do, and this model has been ripe for abuse. The overwhelming majority of consumers pursuing debt settlement never see any benefit after paying large upfront fees. In many cases, they end up even worse off than before. Debt settlement companies have been the leading cause of complaints and inquiries to Better Business Bureaus across the country, and 42 state attorneys general have acknowledged that such a model is harmful. Consumers should pay for performance, not promises. The FTC agrees. In other news, reports can be misleading about workers receiving extended unemployment compensation. Last month, Congress passed another extension, and some news sources state that this legislation restores benefits for up to 99 weeks. This is not true in Virginia. The reason is that extensions are tied to each state's total unemployment rate. The various unemployment insurance programs available to Virginia are as follows. Regular unemployment compensation for up to 26 weeks, extended unemployment compensation, or EUC Tier 1, for up to 20 weeks, EUC Tier 2 for up to 14 weeks, EUC Tier 3 for up to 13 weeks, and state extended benefits for up to an additional 13 weeks. This makes the total unemployment compensation available in Virginia at up to 86 weeks. The new legislation did not reinstate the federal additional compensation, which provided an additional $25 per week on all claims. The legislation also did not have any provision for workers who have exhausted their 86 weeks of benefits in Virginia. However, workers should continue their job searches, keep records of those contacts, and file weekly claims. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for the answer to our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? Last week, we gave you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which was incorrect. Here's last week's question. Which two protective orders can be issued only after the alleged abuser has received notice and an opportunity for a hearing? A, a 72-hour emergency protective order, B, a 15-day preliminary protective order, or C, a 2-year permanent protective order? The correct answers are B, a 15-day preliminary protective order, and C, a 2-year permanent protective order. A 72-hour emergency protective order is the only one that can be issued without giving the alleged abuser notice and an opportunity for a hearing. Later in the show, we'll give you this week's quiz, Is That Legal? For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
I'm Nikki from Richmond.
Welcome to the show, Nikki. What question do we have this week?
My question is, my refrigerator is broken and I've allowed the landlord to know about this. However, it's been about 2 weeks and they haven't done anything to fix the problem. What should I do?
Now, did you tell the landlord orally or did you give the landlord a written notice?
I let them know orally.
Okay. Giving them notice orally is certainly a good starting point, but it doesn't give you any legally enforceable rights. What you need to do in Virginia if you're a tenant and you need repairs is three things. First, you have to be current in rent and stay current. Second, you have to give a written notice to the landlord or make sure that somebody else has given a written notice to the landlord on your behalf, such as the building inspector. Although for a broken refrigerator, clearly that would not be a building inspector type thing and you would do it yourself. And third, you have to wait a reasonable period of time for the landlord to make the necessary repairs. The law does not actually define what is a reasonable period of time. It's kind of on a case-by-case basis, so it really depends on the circumstances. A broken refrigerator, I would think, could easily be replaced, if couldn't be repaired, within a matter of a week or two at the most. So that's pretty much the amount of time that I would give them. Now, if you do all three things, that is, current in rent and stay current, give written notice to the landlord and wait a reasonable period of time, and the problem is still not taken care of, then you go to the next step, which is you take the notice you gave the landlord and your next month's rent down to the general district court and you file a tenant's assertion and you pay your next month's rent into court. I always suggest people do that in the small claims division because that way there are no lawyers involved. You get a much speedier trial, usually within 3 weeks instead of a month or two. And the rules of evidence are not strictly enforced in the small claims division. The judge will let you present your case the best way you know how. The judge can do any number of things, can hold on to your rent until the repair is taken care of, can return all or part of the rent money to you for having to put up with the bad conditions, and if you want, the judge can even let you end your lease early so that you can move somewhere else without penalty. So is this something you plan to follow up with?
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Keep on a-walkin', keep on a-talkin', marchin'.
The foreclosure crisis faced by the country 2 years ago has faded from public view, but the problems faced by struggling homeowners trying to keep their homes have not. A handful of foreclosure defense attorneys in Virginia continue to use and try to expand the legal tools available to keep borrowers in their homes. One of these is Karen Kennedy, a private attorney in Warrenton, Virginia, who recently spoke to Legal Aid about her innovative strategies, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show was there. Here's the first part of this two-part presentation.
I practice law in Warrenton, Virginia. I've been a lawyer for 31 years and have done a variety of practice, a lot of litigation, different kinds of litigation, in both the federal and state court. About October of last year, I got a call from a lawyer that I actually used to be my associate, and he said, "We have a case in here. They're getting ready to lose their home tomorrow morning. He's had cancer. She's had health problems. Is there something you can do? We've gotten a forensic loan audit." And I went, "What? What is a forensic loan audit?" Basically, what a forensic loan audit does, and we have a group that are both attorneys and CPAs in Florida, they take the loan documents and they audit them. And what they particularly look for are violations of the Truth in Lending Act and the RESPA Act, Regulation Z. And essentially, we're looking at very hard the statement of the lifetime interest on the Truth in Lending, and whether or not the required disclosures were given 3 days before the closing, which they're supposed to give you a GFE, a good faith estimate, 3 days before the closing as to what your closing costs will be and what the terms of the loan will be, and whether or not they gave them, the debtor actually has in their possession, a signed 3-day right of rescission, which they're required to give at closing. What we are finding is that the loans that were done between 2005 and a few were done in 2008, 99% of them have serious violations. And what was happening is these closing companies, who have probably been transformed into foreclosure companies now, would basically copy the loan package before the closing, so that they could just hand, you know, when the people walked out, they just handed it to them. Well, the problem with that is that ignores the role that they're entitled to a signed copy of the Truth in Lending Act. Another thing we find is that there were roving notaries. In other words, the closing company could have been in New Jersey, and they would just send down a Virginia notary to these people's homes and have them sign the documents. And again, sometimes they're missing the right of rescission, which is a violation of Regulation Z. The other thing we're finding is these immense understatements on these predatory loans, negative amortization loans, option ARM loans, those kind of loans. If you see one of those, you can pretty much be sure that there is a violation, that they're predatory and toxic. I'm not allowed to speak about my other clients, but I had my own loan audited that I took out in 2007. And it was a option ARM, but it had a negative amortization quality to it. And I thought, well, you know, my business is going great and I have a big farm. Sooner or later, I'll be able to refinance this, which is what everybody says. They did a audit of my loan, and my lifetime interest was understated by $502,000. Now, what does that give you? If they have violated either the Truth in Lending Act or the Regulation Z of RESPA, not giving the required disclosures, it entitles the borrower to rescind their loan. They have to send a notice of rescission within 3 years of the date of the funding of the loan. Now, I will tell you that if you do research on the internet, the circuit courts, the federal circuit courts, are in conflict about what this means. So I'll start with the 3-year right to rescind. Of course, our Fourth Circuit, one of the most conservative circuits in the country, has ruled that the three-year date to rescind is a statute of repose, not a statute of limitations. The difference is a statute of limitations is subject to equitable arguments. There was fraud, we didn't know, we had no way to find out, so the statute doesn't start running till we find out. The Fourth Circuit said no. The three-year right to rescind is a statute of repose. It's a fixed bar. It starts on the date of the funding of the loan. Truth in Lending and RESPA are not for purchase money mortgages. They are solely for refinances. They also do not cover investment property. It's got to be your primary residence. The three-year window is closing. As you all, being lawyers, you can even do that math. It's starting to close. Now, there are other causes of action you can bring against the lender. There's the common law cause of action of fraud, that they had you sign fraudulent documents, and that may give you a right to rescind. But as any lawyer knows, fraud is a high evidentiary proof in Virginia. But I would say if you have a document and you have an expert, which is what the forensic audit gives you, these people will come in and testify. They can qualify as experts and they will testify as experts that a fraudulent document was presented to the borrower, that the borrower would, an ordinary person, would have no way of detecting the fraud, and that the statute, the one-year statute of fraud, starts running when they know that they've been basically defrauded, bamboozled into something that was incorrect.
You're listening to a presentation by private attorney Karen Kennedy about forensic mortgage loan and securitization audits. We'll be back in a moment. If you're just joining us, the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show now rejoins private attorney Karen Kennedy in a presentation about forensic mortgage loan and securitization audits.
The cases that I'm seeing that are mainly coming out of other jurisdictions that have judicial foreclosure, because that gives you like at least a couple seconds to react to a foreclosure. Courts are not having a lot of problems saying that an ordinary person would not have understood that they were being defrauded when they signed these documents. The banks and lenders throw that up and the judges just go, are you kidding me? Actually, a judge in a transcript said, I've done closings and there was no way I knew whether or not that end number was correct. What I have found, though, is with these forensic audits, is that you send that in with a rescission letter to the lenders. And my rescission letter has, you violated Truth in Lending and Regulation Z. And I just put in there that you did not give the borrower, unless the borrower presents to me a signed copy of the right to rescind that's dated the same day as the closing, I just say you didn't provide it, because 9 times out of 10, they didn't. So we are rescinding the loan. If it's within the 3 years, I say we are within the 3-year right to rescind. If it's outside of the 3-year right to rescind, I say based on common law counts of fraud, deception. I also throw in there that it may violate the state federal statute about fraudulent and deceptive practices in commerce. So I throw all that in. What it gets you with the lender, and we have a saying around my office, you're either a rabbit or a porcupine. If you are a rabbit, you're going to be paralyzed. You're going to be like a deer in the headlights, and they're just going to run right over you. And as you all might have experience, I actually had people that the lender sent out the notice of, they sent out the notice that they had lost the note, And the statute says they send out the notice that they lost a note. They have to give you 14 days to file something in the circuit court saying that you believe that you may be, somebody else may hold the note, which, trust me, every note other than you went down to your local bank and got a refinance, every note has been transferred multiple times and is probably in a subject to a pooling and servicing agreement as a securitized entity. So you say all these things to them and you demand rescission. Now, let's say you have a great case. You have somebody comes in, they're within the three-year right to rescind, so you don't have to worry about the Fourth Circuit case. What does rescission get you? The statute, the federal statute says, rescission gets you that the lender has to repay to you all the interest you've paid on the loan and all the closing costs that you incurred on the loan. And they have to remove the lien on your property. And that's the first paragraph. Then it says that the lender is entitled to the consideration that they furnished the borrower at the time the transaction took place. A bunch of circuits say the statute says they shall remove the lien. It converts the lien into just basically an equitable lien that they have to sue on to enforce. And then they can come after the borrower for the principal amount that they gave. The Fourth Circuit said that doesn't make any sense. And we're going to find that the borrower has to tender the original amount of the loan, less any interest they paid over the life of the loan and any closing costs. Most of the borrowers, obviously, we see their credit is ruined. They're behind in their mortgage. They're facing foreclosure. And they don't have a way to refinance their house. Because as a practical matter, what you do is you say, okay, here's the original loan, minus all the interest I've paid you, minus all the closing costs I had, and this is the amount I owe. So either let's do a new loan in that amount, or I'm going to go find an investor or refinance for that amount. Pretty much, like in my case, I sent the rescission letter. It knocked off about $200,000 off my loan. What it does is if you have somebody or you can come up with the funds to get a forensic loan audit, you finally, for the first time, have some ammunition to go against the lenders instead of just standing there with your hat in your hand going, please help us. We're pathetic and pitiful and we can't pay.
You've been listening to the first part of a two-part presentation by private attorney Karen Kennedy about forensic mortgage loan and securitization audits. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? We give you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which is incorrect, and we give the correct answers next week. If you're the first to email the two correct answers, we'll post your name on our show's website and send you a free copy of the Virginia State Bar's Handbook on your legal rights and responsibilities. Here's this week's question. What two things must a landlord do to bar a tenant's guest from coming onto the rental property? A. Give a written notice to the tenant's guest. B. Describe in the written notice the conduct complained of, or C, explain in the written notice the provisions of the lease or the law that were violated. If you know the two correct answers, email them by Friday to Marty at cvlas.org and be next week's winner.
for the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Michelle King.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. 2 years after the Wall Street meltdown, the foreclosure crisis continues unabated. Join us next week when foreclosure prevention attorney Karen Kennedy discusses forensic mortgage loan and securitization audits and the surprising foreclosure defenses that result from them in the second part of a two-part presentation. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.